And they departed from him and returned to their own land. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give me the NLT version of that. Winning battles by sacrifice. He said, they destroyed the towns, covered their good land with stones, stopped up all the springs, and cut down all the good trees. Finally, only in Kehareseth and its stone walls were left. But men with slings surrounded and attacked the wall. When the king of Moab saw that he was losing the battle, he led 700 of his swordsmen in a desperate attempt to break through the enemy lines near the king of Edom, but they failed. Verse 27. Then the king of Moab, look at this verse well, took his oldest son, who would have been the next of kin, that means the apparent heir to the throne. He took him and sacrificed him as a burnt offering on the wall. So there was great anger against Israel, and the Israelites withdrew and returned to their own land. There is a place in your walk with God that maturity will lead you into sacrificing for what God has for you. Every human being came into the world in the covering of blood. Blood talks about sacrifice. Blood talks about pain. Blood talks about bleeding. And that talks about a place a man must get to in order to give birth to that which God has put in him. In the physical, it's a baby. But in the spirit, it's destiny. In the physical, it's a baby. It's a child. But in the spiritual, if destiny must manifest, it must be because sacrifices came out of the life that carried the destiny. Destiny is carried in life. So the life that carries that destiny must be ready to walk in many sacrifices in order to see the manifestation of that destiny. There is no joy when there is no sacrifice. There is no joy when there is no sacrifice. A day like this is a day that God wants to bring us to that point where this stage of your life will witness the birthing of a glory that has never been seen before. It is with great pain sometimes for heaven to observe the ways of God's children, to watch us walk about, not knowing the times and the seasons. To watch us walk about, not knowing that God has brought us to the point of betting. So sometimes God is leading a man and the man gets distracted and begins to lead himself. Such a man will never discover destiny. And listen, destiny is not just pleasure. Destiny is not just happiness. Destiny is fulfillment. Say fulfillment. Say fulfillment. If we are going to make good progress and we are going to enter into great fulfillment in life, we must learn the act of sacrificing. We must learn the act of laying down our lives. If we will make great, great advancement in 2024, if we will see a great success, we must place our lives at the point of sacrifice. We must live sacrificial lives. We must have a mind that is always ready to give up what we have to attain what we cannot get with what we have. When that mind is in a man, that is the man that will ascend the ladder of destiny. Convenience has always been the biggest trap of the enemy on our destinies. Many of us live a life of convenience. We live lives that takes us away from the very place God wants us to manifest. A convenient life is the life that keeps you away from what God wants you to do. And that is where many, in fact, the world lives a life of convenience. Anything that is good feels good. When it feels good, you do it. But that is not what God called. God called us to sacrifice our lives for what he has for us. If you walk in grace and you don't know how to sacrifice, then you are not walking in grace. And if you hear something, grace has done all that. We don't need to sacrifice anything. No. It's a lie. You are lying. You don't know what you are talking about. Do you know grace more than Apostle Paul? And do you know sacrifice more than Apostle Paul? A life that will show God's glory in his time and in his generation is a life that can be read in the books of sacrifice. This year, what you sacrifice for is what you are getting. There is a glory in 2024 that God is calling us to the place of sacrifice in order to see the glory. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ. He had to die in order to attain the name. There is always a dying. There is always a devaluing. A sacrifice is a process that devalues momentarily. If you tell me you sacrificed and you didn't devalue, then you did not sacrifice. A sacrifice would devalue you. Sacrifice would take something out of you. Sacrifice will bring a loss. The king took his first son, the man who is to take over the kingdom, the man who is to take over rulership, the one who is to continue the dynasty of the father. The Bible said that the king took him and sacrificed him on the wall. Yes. He did not think about that. You know, dynasties are contested for by families. When you go to Ashanti, there are three houses that contest for the throne of the Ashanti Hene. It is very crazy for a king to take his apparent heir. Watch me. To take his apparent heir and sacrifice. That means that he is ready to lose the throne forever. But the Bible said when he saw that the battle was getting to a point that their military strength could not stand, he changed the formula and took his firstborn. Look, you cannot amount to anything in the kingdom, let alone in life, if you live a life of convenience. Except a corn of wheat falls onto the ground and dies, it abides alone. But when it dies, the Bible said it brings forth much fruits. There is a place of denial. There is a place of self-denial. If a man will blossom, there are battles in life that can never be won only by prayer, except by sacrifice. So Jesus said, this kind goeth not. You cannot use prayer for every battle. There are battles that will only shift. There are battles that will only overturn. There are battles that will only be won on the platform of sacrifice. Prayer cannot solve all the problems. There are times it will take a sacrifice. God wants to win the world. He cannot just win the world. He had to sacrifice his only begotten son. There are battles. Look, it's good to know the strategy of prayer, but it is better to know the secret of sacrifice. Because sacrifice is superior to prayer. God could have been in heaven and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I need sons. I need daughters. I need sons. And it couldn't have happened. He needed to send his son to come to die in order to have multiples of those of sons. If he needed sons, he needed to sacrifice a son. that has the quality, that has the pureness, that has the originality, that will become a template. So the Bible said that Jesus calls us his brothers, because that which is in him, that which was made of him, that which he contains has been put in us also. If you don't sacrifice in this life, all of a sudden the world has been engulfed in entertainment. All of a sudden, everybody in the world is getting oriented to entertainment, because entertainment is pleasurous. It's fun. And it's a spirit that is being propagated by the kingdom of darkness to weaken the sense of sacrifice amongst God's people. I feel good generation. That is why only few people are rising. Check a man who is rising. He will show you his life of sacrifice. This day is not just for us to offer financial sacrifice, but this day is for us to remember that as a Christian, you must live a life of self-denial. You must live a life of sacrifice. You must live a life that deny yourself of self-pleasure. God walks to a man, or walks to a woman called Mary. Say Mary. Oh, say Mary. He walks to Mary. Mary is an innocent virgin having her own plans. You can have your plans like Mary. You think Mary did not have plans? Every human being has a plan. Even the dog, when the dog wakes up, he has a plan of how to eat. Even the cat, he has a plan on how to eat. Animals have plans. So Mary had her own plans. You see, don't pray for significance from God if you are still holding on to your plans. God has no plan for a man who holds on to his plan. If God is going to have a plan for you, you must let go of your plans. And he gives you his plan. So Mary was there, and God appears to him through his angel, Gabriel. And said, Mary, you have been appointed for an assignment. And this is the assignment. You are not going to get married. You are not going to have an affair with a man, but you are going to get pregnant. What? What a disgrace. She was already betrothed to Joseph. And everybody is aware. It's like the betrothal is stronger than courtship. In fact, the betrothal is if you want to break off or break up in a betrothed state, you have to serve a certificate of divorce. It's a strong one, not what we are doing here. So everybody in the community know that Mary is going to marry Joseph. And suddenly they are going to see Mary pregnant. And you are going to ask Mary, Mary, who is responsible? You say, I don't know. But what I can say is that an angel came to me and said God was going to impregnate me. So if I'm pregnant, then it should be God. How crazy that will sound. How shameful. History says that Mary was one of the brightest virgins amongst her peers. One of the calm, non-trouble-looking, decent girl. And God steps into her life and muddies her plans. Will you be ready to sacrifice your own plan, your own agenda, for the agenda of God? That is the way we win battles. That is the way we turn the battle to our favor. And I pray that after today, something will shift in the atmosphere over your life. I said something will shift in the atmosphere over your life. You have to learn to back your prayers with sacrifices. When you are paying your tithe, your first fruit every month, you are sacrificing something. You see, when you take money, let me teach you something. Why do you hear people say, oh, when you come to church, every day they take money, I'm going to explain to you, and we are going to continue to take money, and God is going to continue to take money from you. I'm going to teach you. And nowadays, every church is taking money. Every church is taking money. I won't go to church again so that I don't give my money to church. I'll teach you. Church is a human institution. And every human has needs. Say needs. Say needs. And those needs must be met by a system. That is even not the reason I'm going to give you. If human beings are coming to church, and human beings have needs, and we are in an era of barter trade, what do you think is going to be the point of transaction to service the needs of men? You are not a spirit. You are not just a spirit. You are a spirit living in a body. If it is only spirit, we don't need to buy chairs. If it is only spirit, you don't need to wear a dress. Because at the time that Adam and Eve was created, though they were having flesh, they manifested as spirits. So they did not have any need to cover themselves. Are you here? They had no need. It was sin that translated them to be more conscious of their flesh. Then they moved out of the spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not teaching that. I'm not in that mood today. But I'm bringing your mind to the fact that why is it that God is going to demand money from you? Are we not supposed to say, is a sacrifice all about money? I'm showing you. Somebody say money. Money represents more than you think. Money represents you. Your money. Money represents us. Money, apart from human beings, is the most difficult thing a man can give out. Apart from human beings, is the most difficult. Like, that is why when your money gets missing, you are wild. That's why when the bank messes up with your balances, you are wild. That is why when the insurance company don't take their money early and they wait till you have only 350 and they take 320, you get wild. You just get angry. You are just there, you just got a note. Then suddenly you are watching football, you are winning, but you are angry. Money is your time. Yes, that's the reason. Money is your time. Yes, money is your time. You use your time to get the money. You work and they paid you. Money is your energy. Money is your life. And you know the Christian is not supposed to love his life. Are you here? The Christian is not supposed to love his life, and the Christian is not supposed to love money. So money is equal to life. Are you here? So don't be too over spiritual and say we are supposed to give our lives to the Lord, but the church is always taking our money. You are ignorant because you don't know that your life is equal to your money. Yes. So anytime you are giving an offering, you are giving your life. Because that money you are giving to the Lord could be used for something that can bring you pleasure. But you give it to the Lord. So money will always be the reason why people will die and people will live. If you fail to give, people will die. If you give more, people will live. You have no idea the kind of responsibilities the Church of Christ takes upon himself. And if the monies that comes to governments are given to churches, nations will never be the same again. Yes. Nations will never be the same again. May you enter into the place where your whole life becomes a sacrifice to the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, for instance, a man It's only Christians that fail to understand the power of sacrifice. Yes, it's only Christians that fail to understand the power of sacrifice. But a man, maybe a businessman, wants to get a contract. $4 million contract, $1 million contract, $750,000 contract. And he goes to see this power man somewhere, spiritualist somewhere. Then the spiritualist will give him an option to sacrifice. But this is the Christian who does not understand sacrifice, who does not want to understand sacrifice, and who does not want to accept sacrifice. And we listen to so many things on social media. People are just destroying the church. And if you are a Christian and you are at a point where a 5 minutes video on social media can bring you to the point where all these years of teaching, you can just gather it and put it somewhere, then you are not really born again. You are not really born again. To the point that there's a teaching that you don't need crossover. There shouldn't be crossover. It is mystical. You don't need it. It is because you have believed that you should not pay tithe and first fruit, and the same person is telling you that you don't need crossover. Then why are you coming for crossover? If you need crossover, then you need to pay your tithe and your first fruit. Are you here with me? There must be. God is looking for people who understand the work with him. When you pay the price, you see the power. Power is in excess in God. And not everyone will access it, except those who sacrifice. Not everyone will access it, except those who will pay the price. Not everyone will walk in power, except those who desire and pay the price. Not everyone. Not everyone will become a product of power, except those. The king saw that he was losing the battle. And at that point, his firstborn was not important to him. His firstborn was not important. It was better for the firstborn to die, for the whole nation to be saved. What are you ready to sacrifice to see the power of God in your life? What are you ready to sacrifice to see God reign in your life? What price are you ready to give? What are you ready to give up? Let me push a little of my notes. There are so many stuff here. It's only Christians that don't want to sacrifice. Because in the midst of sacrifice, you will lose some things. And it will feel like you are losing. It will feel like you are delaying. It will feel like the loss is too much. It will feel like you are getting frustrated, because that which you could have used for yourself, that will bring joy and bring happiness and show off, you are using it for something else. There was a point, one of the covenant day of sacrifice, in the other side, I prayed the whole week into the day, and I was asking God, if you don't show up, I will stop the day of sacrifice. And I put God on the spot. I gave him 3 requests. In 3 months after that day, I saw all happen. And some of the things I asked the Lord is what we are seeing here. My request is in my office. 7, I told you, 7. Somebody gave me a testimony about their mom. One of the covenant day of sacrifice, doctors have given up on the mom. The mom was paralyzed in bed. I have the long testimony on my phone here, but I don't know how I'm going to read it. It's going to be very long. And even that, he said that is the reason why he decided to join the church. They've gone to see specialists, neurosurgeons, blah, blah, blah. Nothing was going to work. Then he said that day, I said that we should list 4 or 5. And it was part. I know the neurosurgeon he talked about, because I work with the person. He said, Pastor, after that day with the communion you gave, my mother got up and walked. And up to today, the mom is walking. I don't know what is your need. God, don't mind all those preachings that you are looking for miracle. How many times do you do covenant day of sacrifice? God works. There's a day of Jubilee. There's a day of Passover. There's a day of Pentecost. Listen, don't follow God with what people are saying. You are confused because you don't study your Bible. And this year, next year, 2024, right from tomorrow, let's all go into that challenge of reading the Bible the whole year. There's a software for it. When you Google, you go to your Apple, blah, 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 or your those of you who use Android, go and look for the software. It will divide the Bible daily for you to read. Because you, if you don't study the Bible yourself, you will not walk in power. Yes. If you don't walk with God yourself, you will not. People will preach all kinds of things and you'll be confused because now even we are pastoring you, but we know you have about 7 pastors or 12 pastors. Because social media is right there in your bedroom. And everybody is saying what he wants. Saying so many. Even me as a pastor, sometimes I can get confused. I'm wondering how you are managing it. I listened to a big prophet. Sharp. He said, God does not regard your sin. I'm like, huh? Really? And the following, I'm going to fall prey to it. God does not regard your sin. Then why did he send his son to die for us? That thing that cost heaven so much. It's because we don't study the Bible. That people come. You don't need to pay your tithe. You don't need to give financial. How? In the Bible? Did you read this? Did you read about Abraham? And you see, God came to Abraham and he told him to sacrifice his son. The one, you see, God can give you something and ask you to sacrifice it. The one you love, not Ishmael, not Lot. Because those Lot and Ishmael were people that Abraham could easily sacrifice. Lot was Abraham's nephew that was troubling him. So, Ishmael was the reason why Sarah was angry and Sarah commanded for the first time. Sarah spoke rudely to Abraham. Let the child and the mother leave the house for the first time because of Ishmael. It would have been easier for Abraham to take Ishmael. But God said, take Isaac. It is the reason you are happy in town. It's the reason you threw a party. It's the reason you celebrated. It's the reason people are worshiping me. They saw the miracle. God is not moved by the miracles he gives you. He is moved by your heart of obedience to him. He never, listen to me, God never takes pride in the miracles he has given to you. Because miracles are cheap things in the hands of God. It's not a struggle for him. For you, it's a miracle. For God, it's a cheap thing. It doesn't cost God to give you a miracle. It will cost your faith for God to give you. But it doesn't cost God because he has already paid the price through Christ Jesus. But what moves God is our obedience. So the same miracle he gave to Abraham, he said, bring that miracle, kill it for me. Covenant day of sacrifice. Remember, as you give your money to the Lord, something must cost you. If what you prepared did not cost you, you need to rethink. It must cost you. You must bleed. Your heart must miss a beat. Because I can imagine the feeling of Abraham when God says, sacrifice your son, Isaac. To God it was a sacrifice, but to Abraham it was worship. Where we can go with God is where God will go with us. God can go as far as we can go. And what catapults our life is the power of sacrifice. Let me tell you a truth. If you see a great man in the kingdom, that man is a man of sacrifice. If you see a great woman in the kingdom, that woman is living. It's not what you are seeing. There is sacrifice. The sacrifice of his life is the taproot. There is something in the ground. There is something in the ground. I remember how we secured this place. So many years. We didn't secure it now. We secured it some years ago. And those who came late, you are shocked I'm preaching at this time. Yeah. You have missed a lot. You missed a lot. On Covenant Day of Sacrifice, the service changes. Because we have a worshiper to lead us to worship. I remember I was there and I was praying as a young pastor. If you start a church, ministry is threatens your calling, the anointing, and land. Calling, anointing, and property. Finish. When you have this three, you blossom in ministry. So when I began to pastor, from day one, we started hunting for lands. And I was praying. Some lands popped up. There was two plots just where we were. And the documents were not signed for me to secure a loan. At that time, I was thinking of a loan. But God was not thinking of a loan. So there was a lot of frustration in securing documents for the loan. So that land is still there. We forgot about it. So then we got information about this place so many years ago. We didn't have money. And I began praying. So we went to do the negotiation. We stood there. The man said, we are not starting anything until you pay half of the money. Hey. And when he said half, what we have is like one two-hundredth of the half. Are you here? One two-hundredth. So if the half was 500 Ghana cedis, divide 500 Ghana cedis by 200. Then you see that what we have. But I told the man that next week we will come with a check. I went with Brother David. It was official. It was a company. So when we came back, and David looked at me, sir, do you have any money to loan the church? I said, me, I don't have. And then we told, I said, don't worry, let's pray. So whilst we were praying, praying, God touched somebody's heart. A person dreamt that he saw me walking on the land and I was saying, God, produce a man to pay. Producer, he said, pastor, I have so and so amount. Can I have the church account? And he moved it into the account. And I called the man. We didn't wait for 1 week. In 3 days, we called them. And when we got there, they were shocked. And this is how come we secure this place. Look, the God that we serve is the God of miracles. But every miracle he gives you, every help he gives you, he will stay back to see whether the door he opened for you, you are honoring him there or you are dishonoring him. Because doors don't move God. No, doors don't move God. Benz Company, they are not moved by Benz. They produce Benz. They are not moved by Benz. You are moved. When you see the Benz, they are not moved because it's something they live for. And it's something they naturally produce. Listen to me. God can easily bless you. But sometimes he will bless you with things that won't cost you. But the things that will make you, he will make sure it costs you. There are blessings that don't cost you. So, I'm landing. If you came late, you had 5 minutes, you had 2 minutes. I don't know, but manage. The prophet met the widow. God had commanded, God told the prophet Elijah that I've commanded, move to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow to do what? To do what? To feed you. But God had not told the widow anything. The widow has no idea that God has told a prophet that he has commanded her to feed him. Listen to what happened. So Elijah moves from the dried brook. The brook was a little water in a cave that God led him there. When God came back to Elijah, because God led him to the brook. Please follow this part. I'll take 5 more minutes. Follow. God led him to the brook to drink water because there was famine. He used Elijah to prophesy, I think 1 Kings chapter 17, to prophesy famine in the town. And God told Elijah, move from town and go to a cave where there is a brook. A brook is in the cave like a little well with water. Go there. I have commanded ravens to come and feed you. The first level. So he entered into a certain comfort, a breakthrough. A breakthrough. The voice of the Lord gives breakthrough. I'll talk about that in the evening. So whilst he was there, the brook dried up and God came again. Most of you wouldn't have listened to God for the second time. Because it's like when God spoke to you once, that is all you are working with. But God always builds a point when he's building a man. He builds a point. So he said, I took you to the brook, but now get up and go to Zarephath. I have commanded a rich man, no, a widow. So Elijah goes and met the widow. And this is a widow gathering firewood to go and cook for the last time. To her is the last time. But to Elijah and God is the beginning of a new name. Is the beginning of a new life. Is the beginning of a new testimony for this widow. So Elijah approaches this widow and says, I need water. Get me water for me to drink. Elijah did not even introduce himself as a prophet, but I believe that in those days, because of the way the priest and the prophet dresses, if you are a Jewish person or whatever, and you meet them, you know that this is a man of God. It's not these days that, like a pastor like me with my swag, you'll be wondering whether this guy is a pastor or a business guy or whatever. You know, and that's how I trick people when I go to town. Most of the times I dress very simple and I keep an unkempt hair just to trick them, just to hide my identity. And I realize that if you don't dress well, people don't treat you well. I have experienced this, so I'm teaching you. Finally, the police were stopping cars. They were stopping cars, like inspecting. But I realized that all those who had rode their cars and they have dressed officially going to work, they were not stopping them. But those of us who I was in a hoodie and a jeans and I opened my windows, they stopped me. And about 7 police people came on me, trying to say, because my jeans were tattered. That's why I warn you people, dress well. Don't look like something you are not. So they came on me, inspecting me. And they were searching me. And that was the only day I didn't play gospel song or message. I was just quiet in the car. So whilst they were searching me, then I tapped one. I said, so you are not stopping those who are in air-conditioned cars and going. You miss your criminal. Because me that you are searching, I've been praying the whole day. And my spiritual mother has called me to come and visit her. I'm a man of God. Oh, Eja, no one can do that day. Let me say, no, you don't. Learn how to dress well. Else one day they will arrest you and the thief will run away. So Elijah met the woman, and the woman was flabbergasted. And I said, go and bring me water. And while she was going, say the power of sacrifice. Oh, say the power of sacrifice. While she was going, it was easy for her to go and bring water because it was not sacrifice. It was easy. It didn't come with a complaint from her. A sacrifice will bring you into a place of contemplating. Am I sure? This is what I'm going to do. Maybe you signed a check today to trust God with your faith. Those who came late, you know what I said about money and life. You got to go and listen to it. We are on Facebook, so it will help you to recap. You signed a check today. A check you have never signed before. And you are wondering whether this thing, is it a gimmick? The woman, when she heard, go and bring me water, she was quick to go. Then the prophet said, stop, come. When you are coming, bake, cake, and bring to me. When the woman heard the baking of the cake, because it's a sacrifice, she began to complain. Oh, I have a little wine. It's a little oil I have. It's a little flour I have. When we eat, we are going to die. And the prophet said, go and bake and bring it. When you do this, the jar of oil will not stop. The flour will not cease until the rains comes. And as she did it, she entered into abundance. I don't know who I've spoken to, but this day is the day God works strange miracles in our midst. I pray that God will lead you to offer a sacrifice on this altar today. A seed with a demand. So the demand is 7 prayer requests. And these are the instructions for the service. 7 prayer requests on the envelope. Write it with your seed. Not an ordinary seed, it's a sacrificial seed. Write your deepest request on it. These envelopes will be taken to my prayer room and it will be with me the whole year. Every time in the year, in the month of the year, every month, I have a day I lift them up. Number 2, I look at the request and I create a tally. And it leads me on which sermons to preach to feed your need in order for you to be empowered to enter that blessing. So I pray that you will not exempt yourself from this day. The angels of the Lord are here and there's going to be a manifestation of God's power. What will happen is that right after I finish teaching, we are going to enter into a very short time of praise and worship, just 10 minutes. Then the announcer will come. Then the choir will minister. Then I will come and introduce the worship minstrel who will lead us in worship. This is how the service goes. During the worship, during the time with the special minister, at the point where your heart is moved, when your heart is instigated by the Spirit, when there is an inspiration in your spirit, you move to the altar and place your sacrifice. You can spend some time at the altar and pray and talk to God. If you are battling any kind of thing, disease, whatever, talk to God. Talk to God. Because God, I didn't do even 7 lines of my notes. God, wherever sacrifices, God is attracted to it. And God will be here. Not to teach us, but to bless us. Not to teach us, but to break us through. And I see you walking out of this place and the battles of your destiny shifting in your favor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a very good clap offering.